Sure, we'll all be eager to hear the message from our dear pilgrim brother, Christian W. Zahnow. Brother Zahnow.
My dearly beloved in the Lord, I'm reading from Malachi, the third chapter, verses that you've all memorized, 16th and 17th verses. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, reverenced the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And reading this slowly and carefully, we as new creatures in Christ, the Lord's children, immediately think of that which has been promised to us, namely the divine nature. If you and I keep close to these promises which God has given unto us, the things that we've heard thus far at this convention, I'm sure the Lord will be pleased to give unto us the divine nature. He said, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. All jewels rare, jewels which the Lord can display to all the endless ages of eternity and display to all intelligent creatures. Here is my masterpiece. This is the new creation. This is the royal diadem. These are all jewels. And jewels rare. A book of remembrance was written for them. This reminds us of the great memory of our God. Our pastor told us about this often. Think of a memory that never, never fails. A memory, friends, that can plan to all eternity. From eternity to eternity, never makes a mistake, never fails. Think of a judgment that never errs. What a wonderful God. Think of a wisdom that plans to eternity for ages and ages and ages. This is the memory of our Heavenly Father. How wonderful, my dearly beloved, to feel that we too have a memory. What would you do without a memory? You couldn't think of anything, could you? You wouldn't know anything. Memory, how wonderful. To have a memory, to go back, way back, even to your childhood days. Isn't that wonderful? And then to think that God has planned for us a perfect memory upon the same plane that God exists. Yes, we shall be like Him, see Him as He is, and share His glory. Our Redeemer, our Savior, sit upon the throne with God and Christ, with a memory that never fails. Now think of the human family. They too, finally, will have a perfect memory. Ah, yes. We go back to Father Adam. That mind was perfect, but not anymore today. I remember I was at a planetarium in New York. You perhaps have visited a planetarium. And the astronomer seemed to be a religious man. Some of them are not. I heard one that was not very religious. But this man evidently was. And he went on to tell us about how the sun and the moon and the stars, and he showed us the planetary system and how they circle around the earth and so forth. And finally, at the close of his talk for an hour, and it was a blessing, he reached down his pocket and he pulled out a handkerchief like this. And he laid it on his chest. And he said, somewhere we are told that a man lived 1,000 years long. He didn't mention the Bible because he was not allowed to. There were over 1,500 people there that moment, of all classes and all religions. So he did not mention the Bible, but he said that much. And he said, do you know that the greatest man on earth, well, he took for an illustration one of our great men, great electric inventor, and he folded up his handkerchief and he said, the greatest man on this earth is only using 13% of his brain. The rest is dead. I sat there and thought that over, and I did that night. I come to conclusion that I was a numbskull. But friends, I believe it's a fact. Think with me, friends. He said that somewhere it is written that a man lived 1,000 years. And oh, how I'd like to stood up in that auditorium and told him, yes, that's what the Bible says. But we couldn't do that. But we know that when man is restored mentally, morally, and physically back to where Father Adam was in the beginning, it'll be 100%. And he said, you know, a man's brain, it was taken out and ironed, it'd be like tissue paper, but like this handkerchief, with millions and millions and millions of little cells, and a perfect brain would operate all of them. That will be the human family. Never forget. And we all have such good forgetters. I almost thought I lost my memory. But my dearly beloved, when restitution is complete, what will it mean when the kingdom is delivered up to God, that God may be all in all, and God pronounces eternal life upon the human race? Perfect mind. 100%. Never forget. Oh, what a wonderful Father we have. And how thankful we have memories. A book of memory. Among the many wonders of our physical being is our memory. The ability to remember, oh, how necessary to use and retain knowledge, memory. The mind would be useless to us, friends. To all practical purposes, without the faculty of memory, and above all of this, the Lord has given us unto us the mind of Christ. The mind of our Redeemer, the mind of our Savior. What a blessing it is, friends. Our memories enable us to store up knowledge of facts and experiences which are the basis of all our reasoning. Go back, way back, perhaps in your boyhood days, something good, but it's in your memory, and something bad too, perhaps. But it's still there. Friends, when the twinkling of an eye comes, and you and I presented with a divine body, divine mind, what a memory then. How wonderful that will be. I can take you back to my boyhood days. When I was a boy, 10 years old, I entered a parochial school, the German language. Very little we learned in that German Lutheran parochial school. We were taught the catechism and some Bible history, and I loved that. I loved the Bible history. And you know, we'd study, and I'd take my Bible history home and study about Joseph and his brethren and about Pharaoh and all the plagues. And I was so enthusiastic about it, I'd call the neighbor boys, my chums, and I'd want to tell them. A few of them responded. But in order to get more of them, you know what I did? I took my pennies I'd saved, and I give them pennies to come and listen to me because it was so marvelous, so wonderful. And I knew nothing about the symbolic expressions. I didn't know what it meant, but the story alone, and that's still in my memory. Yes, friends, you can go way back and think of things that you did. And when you lie in your bed, how often you'll go back. And you know, friends, when I first embraced the truth, our dear pastor told all the classes through the medium of the watchtower to have prophets' meetings, prophets' classes, to develop more elders to speak. And he sent us all, not me, but to send the classes, a little booklet with 3 chalk talks in it. Perhaps some of you saw that. I still have one home. He wanted us all, the brethren all, to learn about the chalk, and all the elders to give chalk talks. But he had in mind the great photodrama of creation. Well, the class that I had attended, I just came in. They were having a prophets' meeting, 5 elders. And you know, they asked me to come. Well, I said, I prefer, I believe, to stay home. I'm reading the volumes. Well, they'd like to have me come. So I did, listen to them. And you know, the one would have a 5-minute talk and the other a 10-minute talk. And they'd go over that chart. And well, I knew it was beneficial for some that could get it. But you know that during the day, I was superintendent of a pulverizing plant. We were not doing much at that time. And so I drew that chart upon the wall with chalk. And then during the day, I was alone there, and I'd go over some of that. But they knew nothing about it. And you know, a sister came to our class and moved in the city, new neighborhood, and she talked to her neighbors about the truth. And they all liked it, and they wanted to hear more about it. And so she came to the elders, these five elders, and she said, I'd like to have a chart talk in my home. I'm going to invite all my neighbors. Elders said, all right, set the date. Set the night, 2 weeks on Sunday night. All right, she said she'd invite them all out. Well, then the elders in the class wondered who's going to give that chart talk. No one ever gave one. And so they went over that thing, you know. And I knew they were having a little trouble about it. And so it came to Wednesday night before the prayer meeting, or before the Sunday night prayer meeting. And they brought it aboard the class, and one brother stood up and he said, I move that Brother Zano give that chart talk. And I sat down just like a streak of lightning. Why, I said, never stood up before anybody in my life. And I'm not an elder or a deacon. I said, just coming to class. I said, how could you suggest a thing like that? Nothing was said. The meeting was dismissed. Sunday night came, and I went to the meeting where the chart talk was to be held. And the house was filled, and the five elders was there, and no one knew yet when who's going to give that chart talk. There they had fixed a pulpit like this, and the book was there with the first chart talk in it, and a beautiful colored chart and the pointer. And it became late. It was 10 minutes to 8, and they were still out in the kitchen bickering who's going to give that chart talk. No one would do it, and it came to 8 o'clock, and I couldn't endure it any longer, and I went out to the kitchen. I said, brethren, it's 8 o'clock. Well, you go ahead, brother. You go ahead, brother. No, none of the elders would move. They trembled. They never gave a talk. Well, what are we going to do? So I said to the brethren now, I said, if you let me pass out the hymn slips so I can look at the people, and one of you, brother, offered the prayer, I said, I'll read it. I'll read the chart talk. Good. Oh, they were so happy. Everything was settled. They were happy. Brother gave the prayer. He talked about 8 minutes. He should have gave the chart talk. Prayed about 8 minutes, and I stood there, and I was so nervous. I hope no one ever do that. And I took that pointer, and I had the book in my hand. I laid it down, looked at the chart, and it reminded me of the chart I'd drawn in the wall in the shop. And I started to go over that. Never looked at the chart book. The manifestation of the Spirit of God was there. I went through that. Well, one brother said, just like pouring water through a tin horn. Could I ever forget that? Never. Memory. Could you forget some of these things? No, you never would forget that. Five elders. My dearly beloved. All these experiences, then the means of bringing us near to God. Think, friends, as we sit and meditate, we can bring forth the storehouse of our minds. These portray, and the portraits of, from, and the character of them is before our mind. In a sense, we live them over and over again. God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. One of the first things that impressed upon my mind when the truth came to me, and I think of it so much, that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, and the Trinity was scratched on my bones, but that did away with the Trinity, friend. Did away with the Trinity forever. This scripture is found in Matthew 22:32. So, brethren, in the indelible book of God's memory and the immutability of his plan, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will in God's due time come forth. Come forth, show yourself. Yes, Jesus said, ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the holy prophets in the kingdom. All these things impressed upon our mind immediately. And oh, how beautiful they are. Oh, how blessed are they who have the gift of making friends. For it is one of God's best gifts. It involves many things, and above all, the power of going out of oneself and appreciating whatever is noble and loving in another. Right? Philippians 2:5. Beautiful thoughts. And Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. They may impress upon our mind. We'll memorize them. And experiences along these lines. The things that are lovely. Oh, how many lovely things we have to think about. Our lovely God. Our lovely Heavenly Father. Our Savior, our Lord Jesus, and all his miracles, his parables, all his precious promises. Think. You can think to all eternity, can't you? Those are the things that the Lord desires that we do. Think on the things that are above. These good things. Now let us ask ourselves a question. To what then are we exercising our memories? Are we filling them with earthly things? Don't do it. There's no value there, friend. Or, on the contrary, are we using our minds to store up in the memory spiritual things, the eternal things, the things that'll endure forever to all the endless ages of eternity? Our dear brother was telling about gathering treasures in heaven. Where is your treasure chest? Down there in the corner? Up there. May our treasure chest be overflowing. Yes. There's going to be a marriage one of these days. I hope we'll be there. These things are eternal, brethren. And it all reminds us of divine nature. Brethren, there's only one way that any creature could receive divine nature only one way, and that's God's way. You know, God had arranged it in the tabernacle shadows of better sacrifices. What a wonderful arrangement. We knew nothing of the mysteries of God until we entered the tabernacle, did we? There we saw, friends, these wonderful pictures in that most holy of the tabernacle. There we saw the four attributes of God, His justice, wisdom, love, and power. And we learned that in order to receive divine nature, we must lay our little all upon the altar of sacrifice with Jesus. Oh, I know it's very small, but if it's only a penny's worth and it's upon that altar with Jesus, it'll be counted in. And if we don't have our sacrifice upon that altar with Christ, how could we ever reign with Him? How could we ever be glorified together? No, no. There's the only one way, if we suffer with Him on the same altar. Suffer with Him that we might be glorified together. Our little all's counted in with the Master. Isn't that a wonderful arrangement? And all the merit is in the head. But He counts it in. It's the only way that you and I could ever receive the crown of life. All these people talking about the crown of life. Ah, friends, there won't be only 144,001. They'll have the same nature that God possesses. Take My yoke upon you, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Don't tell anyone that you can't do it. Oh, no, friends. If we lay our little all upon that altar of sacrifice, the Lord will be pleased to count it in with Christ. That's the only way we'll ever get divine nature. And be with Him, see Him as He is, and share His glory. Therefore, having presented ourselves in consecration to God, as we heard so much about, and to do His will, our Heavenly Father accepted us. Then the begettal of the Holy Spirit would take place. Yes. And by His Spirit to a new nature, you see? A new nature, the beginning. The begettal is there. And if faithful unto death, it'll mean the crown of life. Highest form of life in the new. In the universe. Yes, as new creatures in Christ. The beginning and development of the new nature is likened to the beginning and development of the human life. As in the one case, there is a beginning, quickening, energizing. Finally comes the birth. And then in the birth, so also it is with a new creation. There must be a beginning, a begettal, a quickening, an energizing, and finally will come the birth. Therefore, the saints are said to be begotten of God through the word of truth. Who was word of truth begat He us. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten, begettled us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wonderful to know that there must be a beginning, a begettal, before there can be a birth. Right? It's like a minister told me after a meeting. I probably have told you about this before in some of the classes. Oh, he said, I know just when I was born of the Spirit. I know the hour, he said, when I was born of the Spirit. I reached my hand and I shook hands with him. I said, you're a great man. He said, why? Why? Oh, I said, you're greater than Jesus was. Why do you say that? Well, tell me. You're a pastor. Tell me, when was Jesus born of the Spirit? Well, he said, he didn't know. No, I said, he wasn't born of the Spirit while he was upon this earth. For 3 years and a half, he was laying down his life in self-sacrifice, the only begotten Son of God. But the birth didn't come until he said, it's finished. He bowed his head in death. Then he was born of the Spirit. He said, you've got something there. I never saw that before. But that's it, isn't it? Isn't that it? Of course it is. And so, friends, firstly, we receive the first impulse of the divine life from God through his word. When having been justified freely by the faith of the ransom and in the ransom, we heard the call to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And in obedience to that call, we did this, consecrated our justified human life to God. Now a living sacrifice, side by side upon the same altar with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You're not your own. No, you don't belong to yourself. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies, Spirit, which are his. This we should do constantly, to glorify God in our bodies. A new creation must have a body to operate in. God permits us to use this body to glorify God. But the outer shell, the human nature, the humanity, must disintegrate, pass away, like the kernel of corn or wheat. There is the life germ. Finally will come the blade, as Jesus said. Then the ear of corn. Well, how about the shell? Pass away. That's the humanity. The old human nature must go. St. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, each one of us. But we're all crucified with Christ. But our crosses differ. Your cross, perhaps, is different than mine. But nevertheless, we all have a cross to bear. no cross, no crown, right? What does that mean? Cross and the divine nature will follow. We can't describe the divine nature, but it's mentioned in the Bible. And friends, it's the reward that God will give unto those that are faithful unto death. Yes. Now, friends, other scriptures we have, one in the Weymouth translation, Romans 12:2. And do not conform to the present age. Rapidly passing away now, friends. Signs are all about us. The old world is staggering like a drunken man. And the inhabitants of the earth are at their wits' end. Whole earth reels to and fro and staggers like a drunken man. Right? That's right. Let us not conform ourselves to this age of this world, but be transformed by the entire, Weymouth says, entire renewal of your minds, so that ye may learn by experience what God's will is. And we do, by experience. And learn all that is good and acceptable to Him and perfect, Weymouth said. I like that. Think of this promise, John 14:23. He that hath my commandments, we heard about them this morning. We have them? Yes, we have those commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do we say we love the Lord? Yes. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them the best of their ability, he it is that loveth me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, great eternal God. Just to think about him, your mind, memory. Great God that never had a beginning, never will have an ending, and to live with him to all eternity. Is it worth our while? Oh, my dearly beloved, it becomes greater and grander constantly as we go on. Jesus said, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Hasn't the Lord manifested himself to us in all these precious truths and precious promises that we've heard? Is like we read in the first chapter of the Songs of Solomon, speaks of the bride and the bridegroom. Let him, the bridegroom, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. All those precious promises from your Savior. You could put your arms around each one of these promises and say they belong to me because they come from my heavenly bridegroom. That's right, brethren. The first thing we sacrificed was our human will, taking the will of God. And from that time on, we may not be guided either by our own will or by any other human will. Look out. Look out for the human will, the human mind. We sing that beautiful hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. Here it is. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Oh, there's some sweet frame will come. and tell you, I have something. Now, Brother Russell was here. He'd accept that too, don't you believe? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand all other ground. We found it so, didn't we? Is sinking sand. Look out. Most serious time in all the history of the church. Why, my dearly beloved, you travel from coast to coast and you come to a place you think everything is solid. Solid in the truth. And there's one. Got something new. And he must give it to the church. Don't you believe? Be careful. Oh. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want to give this one scripture at least. But we all, takes in the entire church from Pentecost till now, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, see the glory of the Lord, and we're changed into the same image that Brother talked about, Brother Barrow. Change into the same image from glory to glory. Even by the Spirit of the Lord, a little more change to the glory of God. A little more each day. The Lord knows. Step by step until finally we'll see Him as He is and share His glory. Then this last scripture is given unto us by Peter. I'll just read it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. All of these, what for? That by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. I pray, my dearly beloved, that you've all received a blessing. You've all received a blessing. Let us remember, friends, there's a crown waiting, a crown of glory. But we must be changed from glory unto glory. That'll mean the divine nature, the same nature that God possesses. Thank you.
The social grammar of creation is presented by the IBSA, the International Bible Students Association. Its aim is public instruction along religio-scientific lines, and in defense of the Bible as the inspired Word of God. Many claim that each of its parts is more helpful than a year in college, or the four parts equal to 4 years or more. We trust that this may prove to be so for everyone now present. Asked the motive of the enterprise, we reply that it is purely philanthropic. It is supported wholly by voluntary contributions, and these come from Bible students who themselves greatly benefited, are desirous of passing the blessing on to other hearts and heads. Surely the value of an intelligent knowledge of God and the Bible is inestimable. The photodrama of creation presents the 7 days of creation as 7 epochs, each 7,000 years long, and the 7th day as not yet complete. In this view, 1,000 years of the 7th day remain, during which earth and her population will reach the grand perfection designed by the Creator. it is held that this final 1,000 years has already begun. To this fact is accredited the great progress of our day, intellectually and materially. In other words, the great seventh day of the Genesis account is itself a great week, each day of which is 1,000 years long. The six already passed have been man's work week of struggle against sin and death under the curse pronounced in Eden. Now the great Sabbath is beginning. If God has promised that the curse shall roll away from before the blessings of Messiah's kingdom, for which so long we have prayed, thy kingdom come, and of which we have so often sung as the sweet by and by. What we have just seen surely has broadened our conception of our great Creator's wisdom, justice, power, and love. Let us arise and reverently join in one verse of that beautiful hymn, "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee." Please accept from the IBSA a peace pin, free. The ushers will now offer them. Take one from the card and pass the card to your neighbor. The picture on the pin represents the boy Jesus, and your wearing the pin will signify that you wish to be a son of peace, a peacemaker, a promoter of righteousness to the extent of your ability. This drama will be duplicated in all cities and lands as God shall provide the money. Nothing is ever solicited. The IBSA pays no official salary. Every penny goes into the work. The IBSA furnishes the drama complete without cost to all cities providing suitable auditoriums, ushers, etc. The art feature of the drama represents much money and great care in the reproducing and coloring. The value of the drama to you will be doubled by the study of this literature, which gives the Bible references not mentioned by the oral lecture. All are welcome to a copy in folder form, free. It is obtainable in substantial binding, profusely illustrated. Ask the usher. Many of you have the IBSA book, Studies in the Scriptures. They will be doubly valuable to you after seeing this drama. We have seen and heard part first of the photodrama of creation. We hope that as a result, our reverence for our great Creator is increased. The Bible story of the fall of Father Adam under the curse or sentence of death may we never forget. The reign of sin and death and its bad influence even upon angels leading up to the deluge we have fixed in our memory. God's oath-bound covenant with Abraham we have seen to be the basis of all resurrection hope. Our interest in God and in the Bible and in our fellows increases as we gain broader views of creation. It is for this reason that our patrons declare each part of the drama the best. Let us keep in memory the great Bible fact that creation is not yet complete. The completed creation will find our earth a paradise and filled with a perfect and happy human family in harmony with the Creator. Thereafter there shall be no more sin, sorrow, crying, or dying. The curse of death will have been rolled away by the Redeemer, and the blessing of God will be upon all, everlasting life. For all willful sinners will have been destroyed in the second death. Part second begins with Melchizedek, priest, and king, the supposed builder of the great pyramid. It will show us Moses, God's typical dealings with typical Israel, the Exodus, crossing the Red Sea, giving of the Mount Sinai law, the manna, the tabernacle and its sacrifices, and other wilderness experiences, the death and burial of Moses, Israel's crossing Jordan, Joshua's battle, Israel's king, Saul, David, Solomon, Solomon's temple, Elisha, Elijah, Israel's last king, Zedekiah, concluding with the beautiful and touching film, The Shunammite Son. It illustrates the divine power back of Messiah's coming kingdom, when all in their graves shall be called forth, and when sin and death will end. Whether Jews or Christians, Catholics or Protestants, we are surely impressed with the thought that God's dealings with his chosen people Israel were typical of wonderful things, some of them to be fulfilled under Messiah's kingdom, for which we all pray, Thy kingdom come. While our hearts are thus impressed, let us arise to our feet and sing with the poet, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. We exhort you to study the free scenario, the printed copy of this lecture. Turn up its Bible references at home with your family. The story will double your interest in the things of God, your desire to serve him and to do good to all men. It is obtainable in substantial binding at a small price to cover costs. In the folder form, it is free. Send copies to your country friends who cannot see the drama. The remainder of Part Second is even better than what you have seen. It will close with a most touching film showing the prophet Elisha awakening the dead son of the Shunammite. Thus the power of God will be exercised by Messiah's kingdom when, as Jesus declared, all that are in their graves shall come forth. Tell your friends about this drama. All are welcome. Real Bible study is only beginning. Heretofore, our reading and studies were hindered by our creed. Now, nobody would think of defending any of the creeds. But as our faith in human creeds dies, our trust in the Bible as divine increases because we understand it better. In the second century, the mistake was made of proclaiming apostolic bishops of equal authority with those 12 chosen by our Lord. Bibles were costly. You could read. It was natural that the people should accept the teachings of the apostolic bishops without proving their doctrine by the Bible. As a result, there was no Bible study for 1,400 years. No wonder the faith once delivered to the saints was lost. Now we are returning to the Bible. The present Pope urges all Catholics to study the Bible and warns all against modernism, higher criticism. After so long neglect of the Bible, it is not strange that the twist and coloring of the creed still gives us trouble. Errors and superstitions die hard. Part Third will help us to a broader view of the Bible's message. As our heads get straight, may our hearts respond loyally to God and his truth. Part Third shows us the ending of the typical kingdom of Israel to be overturned until the antithetical kingdom of Messiah will be ushered in. It outlines the period of Gentile dominion to its close. It shows us Messiah in pre-human honor and glory as the Logos, the Word or Messenger of God, and onward to his resurrection. The poet has well said, "Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest. My Father loves me." When we realize that the great Almighty God is the friend of his creatures, it gives us confidence in him, and we desire to address him, our Father in heaven. How interesting to know that he has the world's affairs in his charge, and that the reign of sin and death will soon be overthrown by Messiah's kingdom. I invite you to rest mind and body by rising and singing together the beautiful words, "Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life, let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life." The remainder of part third is deeply interesting. The teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Truly, never man speaks like this man. He yet speaks to us all. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yea, and the hour is coming when all shall be privileged to hear his blessed message. All the blind eyes shall be opened, and all the mentally deaf ears shall be unstopped. Wear your peace in. Show it to your friends. Tell them what it means. Invite them to see this drama. All are welcome. Ask why we do not lift collections. We reply, the gospel is free. Nowhere in the Bible are we authorized to solicit money in God's name. Freely we have received, freely we give to others.